Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this third Sunday in Epiphany to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Want you to know that we are glad that you are here. Again, I see Mr. Bagu and his wife, Suzanne. Nice to have you here with us. Nice to have all of you here with us. Those of you who are welcoming, are visiting with us, it's nice to have you with us as well. I just want to take a couple of moments to just remind everyone to make sure that they not only go to read thoroughly our bulletin, but please take the time to visit our webpage as well as our Facebook page so that we can stay abreast of everything that is happening here at Olney Church in these changed times, these pandemic plague times. Communicating becomes more and more essential, and one of the ways that we seek to communicate now is by our through our webpage and Facebook page. So please make sure that you are checking in with us to so that you can be apprised of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our Old Testament reading this morning is going to come from the book of Nehemiah. We'll be reading from chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah, verses 1 through 3, 5 through 6, and then 8 through 10. If you want to follow along, it's on page 420 on your pew Bible, but it's also printed in your bulletin. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. On the first day of the seventh month, and he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Our gospel reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 4 of Luke's gospel, verses 14 through 21. And so again, let us listen to God's word for us. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he went to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. We're still in the season of Epiphany. And during Epiphany, we usually take a look at the beginning of the Lord's ministry. After the Lord's baptism and after his 40-day sojourn in the wilderness, the Lord begins his ministry. We saw in John's gospel last week that Jesus began his ministry at a wedding where he provided ample wine at a banquet that had run out of wine. It was the first sign of the abundance of God's coming kingdom. But here in Luke's gospel that we read this morning, Jesus' ministry begins in his hometown of Nazareth. Again, he has been baptized. He has heard the divine voice declare him to be the beloved Son of God. That is, he has heard the divine voice declare him to be Israel's king. And he has gone out into the wilderness to be tempted by the Satan. And he has traveled the countryside for a short while. And then he comes back to his hometown in Nazareth, comes back to the people that he grew up with, come back to the people who know him. He's gone back to the local synagogue, as was his, we are told, his custom. And there in the synagogue, he is given a scroll to read. It was the practice of the local synagogue to do what we do here every Sunday. Someone would read the word of God, but usually it was someone who was appointed. They was given a scroll, and then they would be able to read. And that's what Jesus does. He goes to the synagogue. He is given a scroll from the prophet Isaiah. And he turns to the point in the prophet Isaiah, where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has sent me to proclaim good news to the poor, good news to the blind, good news to the captive, good news to the oppressed, good news to all of those who have been marginalized. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim that good news." It is indeed a powerful passage, powerful for us today, because it reminds us that those who are poor, those who are broken, those who are marginalized, those who are mistreated, they are the ones who are especially dear to God's heart. Not that God isn't concerned about everybody. God is. In God, all lives matter. God is concerned with everybody. But God is especially concerned with the poor and the outcast and the broken. And so this passage that Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 61, reminds us that we have a responsibility towards those who linger on the margins of life. So it's a powerful passage for that reason. It's also powerful because it reminds us that to be spiritual, genuinely spiritual, is to attend to what we might call today justice, social justice. I know that's a term that meets with some derision in certain circles, but here it is being quoted and read by Jesus himself. The Spirit of the Lord, God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, that Spirit is upon me, and it's the Spirit that has sent me to proclaim freedom. It's the Spirit that has sent me to proclaim good news. It's the Spirit that has sent me to proclaim liberty and freedom. And so we are reminded that to be genuinely spiritual is to be concerned with justice, social justice. But of course, Jesus isn't reading that passage from Isaiah to us this morning. He's not reading it to a nice middle-class congregation, extolling them to remember the marginalized. But Jesus is reading this text in his hometown. He is reading it in the local synagogue, in the midst of his people, his fellow Jews, people who would have been very familiar with this text. He is reading it to people who are waiting and longing for God to break into the world to rescue little Israel. Israel herself, who was poor. Israel herself, who was oppressed. Israel herself, who was being held captive. In other words, these are people who understand that this is about them. It is about the hopes and aspirations that they have in the promises of God. So they would have been very much appreciated, Jesus reading this passage from the prophet Isaiah. They had probably heard it read in the synagogue many, many times. And so when Jesus reads the scroll and then sits down, we are told that all eyes are on him in anticipation of what he's going to say next. And what he says next, no doubt, shocks them. Shocks them not in a bad way. He doesn't make them angry or mad. He'll do that next week. But he certainly shocks them by what he says. He says, today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. Today. I'm sure the good folks of Nazareth would have been shocked on two levels. One, they would have been shocked that this hometown boy whom they all watched grow up, this hometown boy whose parents they knew, they heard him say, heard him associating himself with the anointed one, associating himself with the Messiah, the promised Christ. We can almost hear them murmuring to themselves, what is he talking about? We know him. We know his parents. We watched him grow up. Some of us changed his diapers. We watched him play in the street. What does he mean that he is the anointed one, the spirit-filled one, the Messiah? But that's what Jesus tells them. He is associating himself with God's coming Messiah, God's coming King. That would have been shocking enough, but perhaps even more shocking is that Jesus tells them that everything that they aspired to, everything that they desired, everything that they longed for was happening today. Not tomorrow, not sometime in the future. Jesus says, today, today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. Today, it's all happening now, today. You and I, of course, don't have any problems recognizing Jesus as the spirit-filled, anointed one of God. We understand that. We worship him, we praise him, we know that Jesus is the beloved Son of God, the Messiah, the Spirit-filled, anointed one. But I suspect that we might have a problem, a little bit of a problem with today. Or someone called it the moral urgency of now. Today, of course, is one of Luke's favorite words. Luke uses it far more than the other gospel writers. He uses it at least 12 times, far more than the other gospel writers combined. Early on, Luke tells us, today in Bethlehem, a Savior is born to you. That's what the angels tell the shepherds who are out in the field. And Jesus tells one of the brigands being crucified with them, today, today you will be with me in paradise. Today, it's going to happen today. In Luke's gospel, today is the time of radical change. It is the time of radical transformation, and that's what makes today so dangerous. It's what makes today so problematic. It's what makes it perhaps a little bit terrifying, because it's about radical change, radical transformation. Today, today is the time to repent. Today is the time to turn around. Today is the time for change. Today. Of course, I know many people who would rather live in the past than to face today. We all know people, maybe we ourselves are that way. We're constantly looking back, constantly talking about the good old days. I find myself doing that more and more the older I get, looking back to time when things seemed simpler, when things seemed more orderly. Churches are good at that. Sometimes it's easy to look back on the good old days when everyone went to church, to the good old days when the churches were full, when there was a church on every corner and Sundays were exclusively preserved for worship, the good old days when everyone knew their place, the good old days when we were great. The past is certainly important, but I suspect the good old days were never quite as good as we would like to make them out to be. And I suppose Jesus could have done that for his first sermon before the hometown folks. He could have found a text that expounded on the glories of Israel's past, how God had intervened in years long past. He could have talked about Moses. He could have talked about David. He could have talked about Solomon. He could have talked about all the glory days of Israel, but he doesn't. Instead, he says, today. Today is the day that God is moving in your midst. Today is the day that God is acting. Today is the day that God is fulfilling your deepest longing and desires. Today, pay attention to today. Pay attention to the now. Of course, one of the other devices that we use to evade today is to look not to the past, but to look to the future. We Christians are especially good at that. One day we say God will wipe away every tear. One day death will be no more, neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. One day there's going to be no more war. One day there's going to be no more injustice. One day in the future, there's not going to be any more hunger. One day that's going to happen. It just won't happen today. Have you ever heard people talk that way? They're so far ahead into God's coming future that today is irrelevant. Yes, the future is important, but the future is important because it has already come to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, today, I want you to pay attention to today. God is moving today. Today, God's promises are being fulfilled in your midst. Last Monday, we celebrated Martin Luther King Day. And Martin Luther King was a person who understood the importance of today. I was rereading his letter from a Birmingham jail. He was arrested for his direct action campaigns in Birmingham. And as he said in jail, a number of the good pastors from Birmingham sent him a letter. And they were essentially telling him to kind of wait to go slow, that his direct action campaigns were unwise and untimely, that he should just kind of wait and let things play out. But Dr. King understood the importance of today. He understood that justice delayed is very often justice denied. And so he said, today is what is important. Today is what we have right now. Today is the time for God to move in the world today. Dr. King reminded him that he never knew of a time when protesting for one's rights was considered to be timely and wise. There are always people who think it unwise and untimely. But God is moving today. Today, God is fulfilling the promises that God has made to God's people and to the world. I know when we look around the world, it seems as if God isn't moving. We look around the world, we see so many things that enslave humankind, so many things that enslave our hearts and minds. We see hatred, we see war, we see conflict, we see injustice all around us. And we say, boy, if God is moving, God better get going. But no one said it was going to be easy. No one said that this being liberated, this freedom that we have in Christ, no one said it was going to be easy. Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation in the midst of the Civil War. It was a proclamation that essentially gave freedom to all of the slaves held in bondage within the realm of the Confederacy. Many of the slaves didn't know anything about the proclamation when it was proclaimed. They had no idea that such a proclamation was made. And many didn't know it, because many of the local authorities and regional powers did everything they could to deny it and nullify it. And yet Lincoln, as the authority in the Union, as beleaguered and split as it was, had the authority to proclaim freedom to slaves. And all they would have to do was to live into it. It wouldn't be easy. They would meet with terror. They would meet with violence. But yet that liberty, that freedom, was something that had already been proclaimed by the authority in the land. And that's what Jesus does when he goes to his hometown. That's what Jesus does in the midst of the world that is every bit as violent as our world today, that is every bit as filled with suffering. He is saying today, God is already in the process of liberation. God is already setting you free. Today, God is fulfilling the promises that God has made to his people. It's all happening today. All you have to do is claim it. All you have to do is live into it. It won't be easy. The forces and powers of death, the forces and powers of the world, the forces and powers of slavery will always be against it. But you have already been set free. You have already been liberated. It's all happening today. You just have to see it and believe it and live into it. Every day when we are blessed to wake up, we are afforded another opportunity to hear the Lord tell us that today is important. Today is urgent. Today, God is fulfilling God's promises for the world in our lives, if we will only see it and believe it and act. Today is always a holy day, just as Nehemiah and Ezra said in our Old Testament reading. Today is a holy day. Every day is a holy day. Every day is an opportunity to see the presence of God moving in our world. If we just take the time to see, if we just take the time to look deeply enough, if we just take the time to believe, things that seem impossible are not impossible with God, and it is God who is acting. It is God who is setting free. It is God's Spirit that is blowing in the midst of us. And Jesus says, today, God's promises are being fulfilled in your hearing. I admit, for the last 2 years, as we've been living into this pandemic, I found myself saying again and again, I can't wait till this is over. Can't wait till this pandemic is over. Can't wait till we can get back to some semblance of normalcy. Can't wait till we can begin doing the things that we used to do. Can't wait till we can start living again. Can't wait till we can come back together without any mask. Can't wait till we can eat together, go to shows together. Can't wait. But Jesus reminds us this morning that God is active today, that we are called to be in the world today, that we are called to put our faith and trust in God's coming future today, that we are called to look after the poor, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to set the captives free today, today. No matter what we see today, no matter what we hear on the news today, no matter what the world looks like today, God is moving today. God has promised that he is fulfilling God's promises in our hearing. It's all happening today. And so you and I are encouraged to go out into the world. We're encouraged to go out into the world with that good news, the good news of the Spirit, that God is acting in our hearts, that God is acting in our world, that God is fulfilling God's promises today, right now. He is doing it with us today. Pay attention. Pay attention to the now, because this is the day that God has called us to be about God's purposes. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have given us this time. You have given us this holy moment. You have given us today. We know tomorrow is not promised to any of us, and that today is holy. Today is the time that you have reminded us that your divine presence is moving in the world. Help us to follow your Spirit as your Spirit blows in the midst of us. Help us to proclaim your good news on this day so that we can be the people that you have called us to be. a good news people who've been set free from all that sets us at enmity with yourself and with each other. Help us to be people of today. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.